Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue the celebration of the Reformation that our Lutheran brothers and sisters began last Sunday, as well as recognizing those who have fallen asleep in that faith, as this is also All Saints' Day. They've fallen asleep in the faith of that teaching that came from Scripture, Scripture alone. Now, some of you may have stopped by the bulletin board on your way in this morning, and if you did, you might have noticed, or might not have, but you might have noticed that there was a new document posted back there. Luther's 95 Theses. You see, they were posted back there on the bulletin board, just like any other document. There was no highlighter, no bold print. It was just the document. And so it was when Luther posted the 95 Theses on the door in 1517. It was the common practice of the day. Anybody and anyone could do that. He wasn't trying to start a revolution. What was not so common in Luther's day, as compared to bulletin boards and doors, which were common in his day, was God's Word. As I was just telling the children a few minutes ago, the Word of God was given kind of part by part, and they had to be shared because they hadn't had Gutenberg's printing press yet. They only had a few copies of the Word of God, and so it had to be distributed as such. And so it was that, whether it was that, or it was the teaching of the Pope, or those things combined, that Luther thought he looked like that ugly duckling all the time. He was constantly in his sin, and he was well aware of it, and his conscience would give him no peace. So when he found those words, the words of our gospel, or our epistle text, rather, for this morning, and others like them, that it is justification by grace through faith as the gift of God, he had to tell people. And he originally thought that it was by mistake, or that there was an evil party among the church that had decided to have the sale of indulgences and the kissing of the temple stairs and things like that. And so what he did was he created these 95 theses, which again, Gutenberg's printing press was not all that available yet. And so he probably hand wrote all those 95 theses. And those writing utensils were probably very expensive. So it's not that Luther just came up with these ideas on the whim, willy-nilly, and decided, I want to cause a revolution. I want to infuriate somebody today. No, he had sincere purpose. He wanted to show it was by grace that he was saved, and not only him, but all who would come to believe it. And so he wrote up those 95 theses. You see, Luther had grown up without the truth of justification by grace through faith as the gift of God being taught to him. Now pause for a moment and think how often you think of that truth for you. How many times have you heard it? What would your life look like right now if you had never heard it? Can you imagine a life without not only your favorite books or your favorite computer, but without the Bible? And each time that you came to worship, all you heard was Latin for hours and hours, even though that was not your common language. That's how it was for Luther growing up. Too often the Reformation is seen as a time of revolution, and in a way it was. Gutenberg's printing press did indeed revolutionize the spread of language. As I mentioned to the children, you know, from there we had, you know, typewriter, and that I'm probably missing several steps in there, but, you know, typewriter, computer, whatever's coming next, you know, it helps revolutionize communication. But that was not Luther's purpose. Luther did not want to revolutionize anything. He simply wanted to remind his brothers and sisters in Christ of the gift that they had as told by the Scriptures. So he used the technology of the day to show that he was right. And that is what we'll look at this Reformation morning as we look at the epistle text. Luther was well versed in what Paul wrote at the beginning of our epistle text when he wrote that, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God." For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Again, Luther had grown up without a Bible for his own personal use. He'd grown up in a system of religion based upon works. Works which attempted to earn salvation through the law. Again, the problem for Luther was that his conscience would let him find no peace. Every time he turned around, he realized he committed another sin, and he found no peace. In fact, it got to the point where his own supervisor told him, go and become a monk, get yourself busy doing something, because right now you're not committing any real sins. I'm using air quotes here, real sins. Because Luther's conscience would give him no peace. How about for you? Do you commit, quote unquote, real sins? Or are some sins not really sins to you? Is having an impure thought not really a sin? Is coveting something that belongs to your neighbor not really a sin? Does speaking profanely not really count as a sin? Are there those things that you do when the pastor is not around that you would be embarrassed if you did when the pastor was around? Are there those things that you would be embarrassed to do if anyone was around? Because God is always watching. The question God has according to the law is, have you kept my law? You know as well as Luther that you haven't. The Bible is right. Your mouth should be stopped when that question is asked. Because you, like anyone else, myself included, have sinned. The law has shown the condition of your heart. It is sinful. Anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And according to the law, you are accountable to God. Thus says the Lord your God, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. In terms of the law, everything that you have done wrong and everything that you have done right will earn you only one thing. Eternal condemnation. Eternal punishment. Forever. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. How eagerly Luther must have received that news, that good news, that news which had been withheld from him and from the church for years. It had not been spoken because of the greed of the Pope. The Pope, who had received God's word, would rather that he collect funds for building a basilica rather than letting people know of the freedom that they had in Christ Jesus. You see, the Roman Catholic Church believes that what the Pope teaches is just as valid as though Jesus Christ himself had said it. Think about your life. Are you so perfect that you'd rather have a basilica built than to have the good news of justification by faith as the gift of God taught in your life? Or are you a sinner, as God's word says? What does it mean to you to be a Lutheran, one who, as our banner says, trust by faith alone, the scriptures alone, which teach that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved? Do you take this good news for granted? Is the Reformation nothing but history to you? Or is it of value to you each and every day? Do you receive it openly with both hands? Thus says the Lord your God, all have sinned and fall short of His glory, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, went to the cross for you, for your sins, to take away the punishment you rightly deserve, so that you might receive His grace freely as a gift. The punishment that you rightly deserve, that you were accountable to God for, has been paid in full. Shortly after Luther began his work in preserving the Word of God, though, there were others that got all excited, but excited in the wrong way. They decided to start destroying Catholic churches and Catholic crucifixes and all kinds of things, until finally Luther says, "No, no, no, this is not what I meant. I wanted to preserve God's Word, not to say that the crucifix was wrong." For those that were in the rebellion, anything Catholic, including crucifixes, were bad. So what does the cross, or a crucifix, or pictures of Jesus Christ mean to you? Now, some people wear crosses on necklaces as some kind of good luck charm, as though somehow that will keep them from evil, even though that's not what Scripture says. For others, they have the cross on the outside of the church, and yet the work that was done on the cross is never explained in that building. That's not why Luther preserved their use. He preserved their use as reminders of what Jesus did on that cross, did for you in taking away your sins and giving you grace as the gift of God. Luther didn't want to have a denomination named for him. He wanted to reform the church so that everyone would know the good news that he had come to know through that word. As Lutherans, we boast with Paul in Christ Jesus and his death in your place. But we do not boast of anything else. It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So what does the Reformation mean to you? Is it history to be forgotten? Or does it have significance not because of Luther, but because of the Word of God which Luther preserved? That word about the gospel, that it is freely yours. God has given not only justification by faith, but even the faith to believe it. He has given you His Holy Spirit so that you might be able to receive it with open hands and truly to believe it. Thus says the Lord your God, one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And He has given you His Holy Spirit to believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.